Maybe you've seen his portraits of frontline workers in the Chattanooga area during this pandemic. Or maybe you've read about the sculpture he's working on now, of a Civil War icon known as the father of the 14th Amendment. Or maybe you've signed up for his drawing and discussion class online this evening through the Chattanooga Public Library and the Association for Visual Arts. He is Alex Paul Loza, a visual artist, sculptor, and educator, born in Peru and based here in Chattanooga.
Alex, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
We have a lot to talk about because you have been particularly busy lately. Tell us about the Frontline Heroes Project and the sketches that you have been doing.
Yes, well, this idea started maybe a few months ago during, as we're experiencing the COVID and being home, I felt like I wanted to contribute in a way to our community, in a visual way. And especially I wanted to really thank our frontline heroes for what they're doing and risking their health and their families. They're being in the front lines fighting this pandemic. So my best way to communicate is as doing art. So I felt like drawing their portraits will be a way of saying thank you, but also giving that opportunity for their family members or friends or the people in the community that know any of these frontline heroes to kind of like give them a boost of a thank you, you know, because they've been away from they have probably cut some of their connections with family and friends. So this is a way of connecting them again. And what better way than having their portraits done in an artistic way, and also that they can see that we still think about them. It's been more than what I intended. As I was doing these portraits, it have grown into something bigger for me.
How were you able to connect with these people to sketch the portraits? Because they're frontline workers. That's why we're calling them frontline heroes. You have to, as an artist, get to know your subject, get close to your subject. But
yes,
in this case, uniquely, you and the subject have to follow social distancing.
Mm-hmm. Most of these portraits are actually like the frontline heroes don't know that this is happening because it's been actually a family member or a friend that have requested them to like take a selfie or share a picture of them with their family members. And secretly, they have like those family members have emailed me those pictures for me to work on them. And something that I have requested was like, along with the picture, send me their email or their social media plug. So then I can like send it to them with a thank you note coming from them. My first time or my first connection with the front lines is after the fact that I have completed the pieces, you know, and getting their reaction. That's the way we are actually like connecting.
How many of these are you doing at a time now? And the work of the Frontline Heroes is continuing. How long are you continuing to do this?
My idea is to stop, or maybe not stop. Like every week I get like between two or three pictures. I try to like have them done as fast as I can so they can have these portraits. But yeah, my goal is to do as many as I can and maybe start in Chattanooga, but if it extends to other like cities or states, that's going to be something that I'll be looking forward to do.
Looking at your social media in the past month, you taught a lot of us something that we didn't know in this area, and that is the African influence within Peruvian culture.
Yes.
Tell us more about that.
I never knew like the percentages, but I remember growing back then in Peru, I did have friends of different cultural backgrounds. Afro descendants, Peru are a large community, but I didn't know that Peru places number 4 Latin American countries of having like African influence. That's something I didn't know. I assume that because of the slave trade that all Latin American countries had a large population of Afro descendants, but I was really surprised when I found out that Peru has the fourth largest population of Afro descendants in Latin America.
that story is just as important as the stories that you've shared with us and have been shared by others about the indigenous population.
Yes.
In Peru, and how both of those populations, the African population and the indigenous population, suffered and have suffered a great deal, and yet both of those populations have had such an influence on the culture of Peru as a whole.
Yes. Yeah, like it was something that like I learned, because I grew up in Peru until I was 12 years old, so I kind of like finished all elementary school, and when I moved to the States, that's when I did middle school and high school. But something that I learned in elementary school over there was that the Afro-descendants or the African slaves were also enslaved along with the indigenous. Part of the trade also happened because many indigenous were dying from different illnesses that unfortunately were brought with the conquerors. So their immune system wasn't ready for that. So many of them died from illnesses. So the Spaniards wanted to replace the work of bringing African slaves.
And you mentioned on social media Nicomedes Santa Cruz. Tell us more about who he was.
Well, he was a very influential, not only musician, but he is like he kind of like wrote the history of the Afro influence in Peru. He wrote poems as well. In Peru, he's very well respected. Fortunately, he passed away a few years ago, but his family continues with the tradition of celebrating the African heritage that Peru has, that has influenced our music, our gastronomy, the culture. So their influence is very rooted in Peruvian culture.
That annual celebration was this past June 4th.
Yes. That day is when they celebrate his birthday, and they have commemorated, well, to honor him, they decided to call it a celebration of Peruvian music. But I think as of lately, they're trying to, in some areas, they celebrate the entire month of June as like Afro heritage in Peru.
And we should also talk about the sculpture that you are now creating of Thaddeus Stevens, best known as the father of the 14th Amendment. How did this all come about?
Well, early last year, there was an article, a national article from the Thaddeus Stevens Society looking for a sculptor to create a life-size monument honoring the legacy of Thaddeus Stevens. Now, to be honest, I didn't know much of him, just what I saw in the movie, in Lincoln movie. And because in school, middle school, high school, I didn't learn of him. So this was kind of new to me. And I started doing my own research on him. Thankfully, also the society provided several links about his background and what he did. So they gave us a lot of information. And based on that, I felt compelled to create a small maquette and submit that sculpture to hopefully be considered to do this piece. To my surprise, I was selected out of, I think, over 20 sculptures nationwide sent this proposal. I got the news that I was selected by their board and their review committee to do this. So it's an honor for me to know that I'm going to be doing a piece that celebrates a person that did a lot for the country, for his state as well, and fought for the rights of many.
How did learning about his story inspire you to create the model that you submitted, which earned you the commission?
I think some of the things that I learned that was my main goal of capturing on this piece was that he was born with a club foot. His left foot was his club. And that was kind of like something that inspired him to fight for those that were mistreated in a way, because he experienced that due to his club foot. So as I kept learning about the contributions that he did in U.S. history, I realized that his own experience kind of made him feel empathy for those others that are probably experiencing other type of mistreatment. And that pushed him to to continue going and fighting for those that didn't have a voice or that were not being heard loud enough. So he took that role of being like that speaker, you know, being that voice. That really motivated me a lot to show that in this sculpture. Like the pose that I did is kind of like, it looks like he's about to take another step forward. So he's not like just standing still with both feet on the ground. He's still moving. So to me, I wanted to show that even though he was done with something that it was his goal to fight for, there was another battle he had to go to. Showing that in a way that us, whenever we see any type of mistreatment or anything that we feel that we have to fight for, that we have to do our very best to accomplish that. But then also, once we're in a way finished, move on and continue, because this work is never ending.
And when you're finished with this, it will be displayed in Gettysburg in public, and yes, that will be a first.
Yes, it will be a first, yeah. Like right now, it's in the clay stage. I should be doing the next maybe 8 months or so, and then it will be sent to the foundry to be turned into bronze. My deadline is to be done by January or March of, well, before March of 2022, because the installation will be on April 2022 to celebrate his 230th birthday in the city of Gettysburg.
That will be the first sculpture of him that will be installed in a public space. There's only one other depiction of him.
Yes, yes. And it would have been the third, actually, my piece, because there was a portrait bust done of him back then when he was alive. But unfortunately, it was destroyed or it got lost during an event in Gettysburg. So the only piece that we had of him from back then is gone or missing. And I'm kind of like also using that sculpture as a reference to create this one. So it kind of like will connect the past and the present in this piece. But it'll be the first public sculpture of Thaddeus Stevens.
Where can people go online to follow everything that you do? The Frontline Heroes, the sculpture of Thaddeus Stevens, and everything else.
On my Instagram page is at Alex Paul Loza. So AlexPaulLoza all together in small caps, small font. So yeah, that's where they can find me. Or Facebook at Alex Paul Loza Art at the end. But I'm more active on Instagram. So whatever is on Instagram, then I just share it on my Facebook.
All right. Alex, thanks so much.
Oh, no. Thank you so much, Ray. It's always a pleasure talking to you.